Yes, NRL Live coming at you for round one. This is it, the opening week of season 2013. It's been a long wait, long off season for everyone, but finally footy's back Thursday night. And we're going to talk all about it today on the show, and some late breaking news we're about to reveal to you. Tigers MS with us as always. How are you, mate?
Very good. Yourself?
Doing well, doing well. Got a lot to talk about today, and St. Peter is also with us. How are you?
Great, gentlemen. How are you going? Getting excited. Only two sleeps.
Two sleeps to go. Yeah, I'm pretty excited too. Guys, we've got to get straight into it because there is some breaking news in regards to the Tigers, the Cowboys-Bulldogs game back in 2010. Basically, that was the one that Ryan Tandy was found guilty of match fixing and also giving false evidence to the New South Wales Crime Commission. Now, the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions is looking to put Brad Murray, Jay Ayoub and John Elias towards a joint trial with the issue of them being tried together, and it will be argued on Wednesday at the Downing Centre Criminal Court. So this is something that if you listen to the podcast and you may download it later in the week, we may even have more information by then. But right now, we record on Tuesday evenings and this is late breaking news. Pete, you've read across it already. What is this extra information that we now have about this case?
Well, I know that, part of the information is in regards to a betting analyst who had a look at the various betting patterns of the people involved. And they said that John Elias's, for example, his betting habits changed significantly not long before the actual match. They looked at his history, and between March and October 2010, he plunged up to $400,000. So known big punter, 400 grand over 7 months. Mm-hmm. And then just prior to the Cowboys match, his range of bets in the days leading up to that match on August 21 in 2010 were quite different from his usual betting habit. And they said that the Justice Fullerton actually noted the evidence of the expert was that Elias's bets were highly suspicious. So placed at different agencies within a short time.
Yep.
And they'd all three of them had placed basically the same bets, which was extremely unlikely, in similar words to the expert's betting analyst. So there's a bit more of the evidence there that's going to count against these three gentlemen.
Yeah, and Tigers MS, it looks like that some of these bets were put on by these three gentlemen, which were identical over a very short period of time, multi-bets. Can you let the audience know that maybe they aren't as familiar with betting? What is a multi-bet exactly?
Well, multi is you bet on one, like it might be the same sport, might be different sports, mm-hmm. where you say bet on if the cricket was on at the same time as the football, you'd say, you know, I'll bet on Australia to win, and then I'll bet on, for example, the Cowboys to kick a penalty goal as their first scoring option. Right. And generally, that gets the odds higher, and the more steps you put in that multi, the higher the payout is. The thing I found interesting was that Brad Murray was placing bets for Sam Ayoub.
Right.
And with Jai Ayoub, Jai Ayoub was taking the same bets as everyone else, but Murray seems to have stepped in as he was possibly betting for himself as well. I'm not sure. It doesn't say that he has been.
Yeah, it looks like, allegedly, the Director of Public Prosecutions is saying that Murray put bet on Sam Ayoub's behalf. Obviously, that's allegedly. So that what we're saying here is just what the information that the Director of Public Prosecutions is putting forward.
I think they've probably got a pretty good case to try them all again at the same time, because it's very, very fishy in the fact that only one of them went down, so to speak. Really, it doesn't look good for the other guys, especially, and I know you're guilty to, innocent till proven guilty. And especially with guys like Elias who have had prior legal issues. it's going to be one of those... It could very well spell the end of the whole exotic betting thing. I don't think it will.
Mm-hmm.
But there may be some kind of modification to it or something similar like that. So it might just be first try instead of the first scoring option being a penalty goal or anything like that.
Yeah. Justice Elizabeth Fulton of the New South Wales Supreme Court actually overturned the magistrate's decision from John Elias, basically. So that's been overturned. And outlining the prosecution case against Elias, she said police had analysed the telephone records and betting records of Ryan Tandy, Sam Ayoub, Jay Ayoub, Elias and a number of other people who placed bets on a Cowboys penalty goal as a first scoring play. She said that according to police records, at 8:47 p.m. on August the 18th, 2010, 3 days before the match, Jay Ayoub placed a $200 three-leg multi-bet through his LuxBet account. The following day at 12:22 p.m. he placed a $20 six-leg multi-bet and a $300 standalone bet at the Riverwood TAB. Several minutes later, Murray was in Homebush placing a $300 three-leg multi-bet, allegedly on Sam Ayoub's behalf. At 1:04 p.m. Murray placed a $250 five-leg multi-bet at a hotel in Flemington. Then a few minutes later in Homebush, he placed a $250 multi-bet. Elias placed $5,100 in similar bets over the same time frame. Justice Fullerton noted that a betting expert had given evidence that the probability of the three men taking the same exotic bet was, in quotes, astronomical. So that's all the information we have right now. But once again, on the website, www.paulygsports.com, or on Twitter, at @PaulyGSports or at @TigersM78, you have to follow us and we'll give you up-to-date information into exactly what's going on. And these sagas just continue, Pete. We had the big episode a couple of weeks ago that you can download at PaulyGSports.com about the Australian Crime Commission report into match fixing as well as drugs in sport. And Peter, this story just continues to roll on.
It's a great shame, isn't it? We're leading up to the launch of the first match of the rugby league competition proper, only two days away, and yeah, we're still talking about this gambling. It's a great shame. The rugby league is expecting to have a massive season. Let's hope it all gets sorted out and something very positive comes out of this for rugby league.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. And guys, some very sad news that we need to turn our attentions to now in regards to Moesi Futuaka and the tragedy of him losing his life last week after suffering a torn pectoral injury. Police found him in his home, unfortunately passed away. The death is not being treated as suspicious. And the West Tigers club is in turmoil right now. It's certainly hitting them all very hard. He was a very promising under-20s player who actually won player of the NYC final, the National Youth Competition final. He was a member of the Junior Kiwis, and he was in the West Tigers 25-man squad for this year in their main squad. So basically everything in front of him, and unfortunately, an unfortunate tragedy. And we here at NRL Live, obviously, our condolences go out to his family and friends. But we have to look at this from the regard of the NRL. Look, there's a lot of pressures on the modern-day athlete. We've seen, obviously, with Ben Barber and now this. Are the NRL doing enough, Tigers MS, to protect player welfare?
Yeah, look, I think they are. I was listening to Nigel Wagner, who's the community officer, the education and welfare officer for the NRL.
Yeah.
And he was saying there are a number of things that they do with the younger players in terms of, you know, coping with, if they make the top grade, then they're kind of known. So there's that kind of thing. But along with that comes the money.
Mm.
And it's coping with that kind of money thing. And I'm not saying this is a league-only issue because it's any sport. I mean, look at apprentice jockeys. They get paid a hell of a lot of money, and a lot of them do get suspended in their first year for drugs and stuff like that because they just have a lot of money They can spend it on what they like, and there's no real guard against that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the same because the guys are earning that money because they've done the work in the gym, they've done the work on the field, they've worked on the talents that they've had and gone up through. It's pretty tough. I mean, whether anything league related affected Moses at all is another question. It might have been, it might not have been. No one's going to know now. But in the case of Ben Barber, then quick rise and money and possibly aligning yourself with the wrong people definitely made a difference to his life, if that makes sense. Mm. I think the NRL is probably doing a fair job of it. They might be doing more as more things come to light, because everything evolves. So yeah, it's tough.
It is tough, but there's a key word that was used last year in David Gallup's sacking, and that was the word reactive. And we have to fear that, unfortunately, once again, the NRL is being seen in these issues with the Integrity Commission, Ben Barber incident, and now obviously this terrible tragedy, that reactive again is the word that comes to mind. They're certainly not in front of these issues. The Kiwis, junior Kiwis manager Tony Kemp, ex-Newcastle Knight, said, obviously he passed on his condolences as well. He said, the junior player's death is a reminder that professional sports teams need to be more aware of players' mental health. He said, New Zealand sport codes are not always good at recognising and dealing with depression among players, and he is now working with rugby league's governing body to improve the situation. So specific to perhaps New Zealanders, or people from the islands, people from some of the other communities that come to Australia and perhaps are in a different situation to what they're used to, their community and culture represents, maybe need to be given more help, especially as more players come from the Pacific Islands, from New Zealand, and playing our great game. Pete, what can be done? What can the NRL do above and beyond what they're already doing?
It's a very, very difficult situation, I have to say. It sounds like this young man, his death has just come straight out of the blue, really, particularly for his teammates. Mm. Very highly respected amongst his playing group, etc. Graduated to their NRL squad this year. So it's really hard to say, and often these things happen with no warning whatsoever. And even with all the counselling and so on in the world, it can be very difficult to pick what someone's thinking or how they're going to react in a particular situation. But yes, I also did see the quote of Tony Kemp as well, and if that is the case, he said that mental health was one area that New Zealand sport needed to spend more time on, then I think that the clubs, and particularly the NRL, with the money available from this new contract last year, that some of this money needs to be possibly spend on player welfare and just keeping an eye on them to ensure, to try and prevent this sort of thing happening again.
Yes, let's hope that they can look at more ways to just help these young players, you know. And one thing that I've noticed, that players certainly, or athletes certainly, getting bigger, faster, stronger at a younger age, but potentially mentally and emotionally it's more difficult in this age to basically be put in that limelight and put in that spotlight at that age, and maybe we just expect too much from our young people these days. Before we try to move on to, I guess, to the week one and some positive news, Brad Williams, a Parramatta winger, came out this week, or ex-winger from the late 70s and early 80s, and admitted that he used a course of steroids along with intense weight training to move up from basically a guy that was looking like he could play for Australia. He eventually admitted steroids wasn't illegal to use at the time. He eventually admitted he did it, and Jack Gibson, Parramatta coach, actually dropped him from first grade for the rest of the season after that. But once again, guys, we're going to continue to follow these stories from the Australian Crime Commission and the fallout as it comes to hand at www.paulygsports.com, or follow us on Twitter at paulygsports and at tigersms78. And this is NRL Live, and we are on each and every week. We talk about the issues in the game. We also talk about Supercoach. We've got a great Supercoach segment coming up soon, but we're also going to look at this week's picks. And Pete, you can go first in regards to the Roosters and Rabbitohs, the season opener on Thursday night. Who do you think is going to win?
Well, this game is going to be, they say it's going to be a sellout, but I believe there's still tickets available at the moment. Big, massive atmosphere out there at a football stadium, or Allianz Stadium, as they call it these days. Really, really difficult game to pick. Obviously, so much attention being centred on the return of Sonny Bill Williams. He's been named on an extended bench by Roosters' first-time, first-grade coach, Brent Cook. He's named six players on the bench, Sonny Bill being one of those. Daniel Mortimer, good to see him getting another shot actually on the bench there as well. Other interesting players to watch for the Roosters, of course, number three, Michael Jennings, first game for the Roosters. James Maloney at six as well. Mitchell Pearce, big year for him. He's going to retain his origin jersey. He's just signed a new four-year contract with the Roosters at halfback. On the other side, for the Bunnies, good side across the park. I picked them last week, predicted they'd be the premiership winners this year. So in the first game of the year, I've got to take them. It'll be a very, very close game, though, I think. But I'd pick Souths by six. I think just on the back of their slightly more stable forward pack and around the halves as well, I think John Sutton and in particular Adam Reynolds will really show his true colours. A very great player this year.
Roy Azatazi back for the Bunnies. Tigers MS, Souths continue to roll on it from, as they did at the end of last year, or do the Roosters take a step with a new coach and James Maloney in at 5'8", and obviously Michael Jennings and Sonny Bill Williams, the other big name buys?
Yeah, look, honestly, I think Souths will probably do the job. I'm not entirely convinced Sonny Bill will play, even though he's named. One person who I would be filthy if I was that player would be Boyd Cordner.
Mm.
Killed it for the Roosters last year, and he's named in jumper 18. Mm. I mean, there might be someone who's under an injury cloud, but seriously, I thought if anyone deserved to be starting for 2013, it was that bloke. As for the game, I think the Roosters probably have them across the board. They've got a better fullback.
You said the Roosters.
Sorry.
Assuming you mean the Rabbitohs.
Yes, I think the Rabbitohs, have a better fullback. They don't necessarily have better centres, but they're very close. They're very close. And, of course, Adam Reynolds. I expect him to carry on from last season. And the forwards should be a pretty good battle, actually. Sam Burgess and Roy Asatazi up against Weir Hargraves and Sam Muller. Should be a good one, but yeah, I can see Souths probably doing this one. Probably they'll run away with it in the end by about 12.
Yeah, guys, look, it's always a big, great clash, two long-time rivals, and I'm actually going to go the other way and pick the Roosters. They won the first game up last year. It wasn't pretty, but they got it done. And I think it's going to be another close game, and they might sneak over the line.
Who can forget those two humdinging games from last year? Two of the best games of the year.
Yeah, well, certainly two of the best finishes. So, you know, one thing's likely that this game is going to go down to the last, who knows, last minute potentially, because they both did last year. Okay, some of the other big games this weekend. I think the Saturday night game, Bulldogs, obviously in a bit of trouble with losing Ben Barber. They're going to come up against the Cowboys, who really need to take that next step and win games in Sydney. Now, this game's not in Sydney, it's actually in Gosford, so that might help them. But Tigers MS, who do you see winning it?
I'm going to probably go the Cowboys. I know it's away from North Queensland, but I'm just going to go out on a limb. I did think the Cowboys would go okay this year, and it's all got to start from round one when they're away from their home ground. Rory cost Jason on the bench with Ashton and Tarek Sims and Jason Tamalolo. That's a big, big bench. It's a massive bench. And I think they can do the job. I'm assuming the Dogs are going to go with the forward play that they had last year, which was the quick interchange of passing, which could undo them. But I think the Cowboys will just get them by about two.
It's going to be an interesting matchup, that's for sure, Pete. Can the Cowboys go away from home and steal one from the Doggies?
I agree. I think the Cowboys can actually win this match. And it's not just the Ben Barber factor. If we have a look in the Bulldogs forward pack, no James Graham, as we know, well-publicised suspension, and no Sam Cassiano, one of the big stars out of their pack from last year, is not in this side. So, yeah, they're looking a little bit weaker up front. It'll be interesting to see how Tony Williams goes in his first game for the Bulldogs. And, yeah, a lot of concentration, of course, on Canterbury's number one and the new young winger from the Raiders, Drury Lowe. But, yeah, the Cowboys, I think, have got it right across the park. And I said you often look at the strength of the teams in their bench. And, yeah, agreed. Great to see Tarek Sims have a big year after his injury last year. And, I think the Cowboys can do it.
Yeah, well, two guys we're going to talk about shortly in the Supercoach segment is that young Raiders, or ex-Raiders, fullback or winger, Drury Lowe, and a gentleman named on the bench for the Bulldogs, David Clemmer, who we could see more of as the year goes on, particularly with Graham out for an extended suspension and obviously Cassiano out at least for this week. I agree with you guys. I think the Cowboys are going to get up with this one. We're going to have all the picks online, www.paulygsports.com, so you can see them all.